Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk some NBA basketball. Last night, the Golden State Warriors pull away for a 132-113 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They now have a commanding 2-0 lead in the series, but now we shift to Cleveland. And this may just be the time where Cleveland could make it interesting. At least that's what we're hoping for in a Game 3. Otherwise, it looks like this series is going to be over right out of the gate. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have James Holis of bballbreakdown.com, also known as Snotty Drippin' on Twitter. Always a pleasure to get you on, James. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we always look forward to it. You definitely bring a great conversation to the table, and we're going to dive right into it. Conventional wisdom says do not get in a track meet with the Golden State Warriors. However, that's exactly what Tyronn Lue did last night. In fact, during this game, you can hear him throughout the contest, anytime they go to a coach's huddle, telling the team, play fast, play faster, but take care of the basketball. Tell me, is that the right idea? Is that how Cleveland pulls off an upset in the series?
That's like telling a young boxer, yeah, go ahead toe-to-toe and slug it out with Mike Tyson. Right? I mean, in theory, it sounds great, but why would you try to take an expert out, take an expert on in doing what they do best? And I think by the second half, you saw that Cleveland kind of got gassed. I think that's affecting Tristan Thompson's effectiveness. He needs a slower style. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers in general operate better at a slower style, so speeding it up against a team that likes to play fast is not really a good look. That's pretty much a tactical error, I think, by Tyronn Lue.
I agree 100%, and Kevin Durant said post-game that, yes, he could definitely sense Cleveland was running a little bit faster. But then you take a look at the statistics in this game. The Cavs have been better when playing with tempo throughout not only the postseason, James, but pretty much throughout the entire year. There are two worst games in the postseason this year. Game one against the Pacers, that was a game, if the listeners can remember, Indiana had a chance to win right at the end. C.J. Miles missed a three-point shot. I believe it was like 91 possessions is what the pace was set for, 48 minutes in that one. Game three, they lost to Boston, 92 possessions. So in games throughout the regular season, when they were playing of a pace of 96 possessions or less, they were 11-12. So in theory, yes, Tyronn Lue may be right. However, we're comparing apples to oranges, right? If we're looking at the competition they were playing in the regular season and the postseason up to this point, it's really, there's too many fallacies in that theory, right?
And yeah, that's bringing up what you just said about how the competition is so much different. The Warriors are just a different animal than anything else Cleveland has seen. People were saying how they figured out the defense. Well, they played the Pacers, which I think they were 16th ranked offense this year. Then they played the Toronto Raptors, who have two guards who like to go ISO, and they lost one of their guards who likes to ISO. So that wasn't like a great offensive team they were playing. And then they played the Boston Celtics, who lost Isaiah Thomas, late in game two, halfway through game two. So they were playing a challenged Boston Celtics team. So, sure, you think they figured out because their defensive rating looked great in the playoffs, them being the Cavs, but now they're playing the best offense in the league, one of the most historic offenses of all time. And all those same problems around their heads. Sloppy rotations, undisciplined closing out, not max effort, they lose focus. And it's, you know, the Warriors are just, every time they make a mistake, the Warriors are just killing them. So it is what it is, man.
As far as the Golden State Warriors go, I think one of the storylines, at least for me, one of the most interesting storylines going into the series, was the fact that Klay Thompson had not shot over 50% since Game 4 against the Utah Jazz. Now, I know that had only been four games. He didn't shoot over 50% in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, but he was very good last night. Finishes 8 of 12, 4 of 7 from downtown, plus 24 Golden State was with Klay Thompson out on the court. When Klay is shooting at that high of a percentage, and you mix in Kevin Durant, who again was 13 of 22, I don't think he has to work for a lot of his shots. Steph Curry was 7 of 17. He played terrific last night. When Klay is that good, this is a near impossible team to beat.
And that's what it comes down to. We can talk X's and O's all we want to, and a lot of analysts are talking about what does Ty Lue have to do. He's playing against two MVP caliber players and then two other All-Stars who all mesh very well together, whose skills are very complementary of each other. And I think it boils down to they signed Kevin Durant. There's nothing really Tyronn Lue can do in the next few games to change that. I think the Cavs need an infusion of talent, in a big way, and I have no idea how they get it because I know they're pretty much capped out. And, you know, they're very top-heavy with those three guys and a bunch of role players. So I have no clue how they do it. But as constructed, I don't see any way they can figure out a way to push Golden State.
Again, our guest right now is James Holis of bballbreakdown.com. James, we'll talk more about your work here in just a moment, but let's stick with the Cleveland Cavaliers for a second. We'll talk about LeBron James. Last night, he had a triple-double going into the fourth quarter. LeBron was very efficient, 12 of 18, 29 points, 14 assists, 11 boards. I said going into this series, LeBron could average 40, 15, and 10, and I still don't think Cleveland is going to win this series. As far as the production goes outside of LeBron, it hasn't been poor, but the bench has not been very good, and that obviously is a factor as well.
I was looking at this today, and Irving and Love aren't the problem. They're combining for almost 42 points a game. They're shooting decently. I think they're like 42, 43% from the floor. They're making their threes. The main problem is, so between LeBron's 28, Irving and Love averaging about 42, so we're at like 70 points right there. Well, the next six Cavs combined are averaging 30 points per game together. That's just not going to cut it. They're not getting anything from their bench and from their other guys right now. JR is averaging less than 2 points a game. So, it's the top three production is fine. You're not getting anything from anyone else, and that's largely in part. We got to give Golden State credit. They're switching everything. They're long. They're active on defense. They're disciplined. They're rotating well. They're not giving up open threes. And it's really just it's putting a damper on what the Cavs want to do.
I thought that Tristan Thompson would be an X factor in this series because I thought if he could establish the glass, if he could actually have his way on the glass and limit Golden State to one shot and really clean up on the offensive glass, I thought that Cleveland could make things somewhat interesting in a couple of games. But we go to game two last night, 21 minutes. Tristan Thompson had four rebounds, two offensive and two defensive rebounds. What have you noticed in this regard? What has Golden State done to keep him off the glass, particularly last night in this game?
I think they're dedicating themselves to sending two people at him every time a shot goes up for Golden State. I mean, I'm sorry, for the Cavs. Every time somebody from the Cavs shoots, they're sending two people to bracket Tristan Thompson and really dedicate themselves to keeping him off the boards. And it's working to perfection. Kevin Love has been feasting on the boards. He's been pretty good. But Tristan Thompson, the guy who really crashes on offensive boards and gets those guys extra looks and extra possessions and really wears down a team like Golden State, they're just not letting him do it. They're really focused. And I think people underestimated exactly how long and strong Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are. Hey, Tristan Thompson just needs to, Tristan Thompson can dominate the boards. Well, Draymond's no pushover, and Kevin Durant's showing that, as we saw when he took a Kevin Love post up and stuffed him on the jump hook. We think he's a thin guy, but he's proven himself that he's filled out a little bit, and he has the guts to stick in there against the physical players. So the thing that everyone thought the Cavs would have a great advantage of, size with Love and Tristan Thompson, Golden State's not hearing it, and they're going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, and really, I mean, again, you pointed this out. We can talk about X's and O's all day, but at the end of the day, Golden State is just much better, and I think a pretty clear indication on that statistic, you go back to game one, Golden State took care of the basketball like I could not believe. They had four turnovers in that contest. And I remember thinking to myself, there's no way that they could keep that pace up. If they do, it's going to be a quick, quick series. Now we fast forward to game two, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that Cleveland did push the tempo. But still, that turnover number increased by 16 for Golden State, and they still won by 19 points in this game.
Yeah, it's never in history have we had a team that was this far and away better than the next closest team. And I'll say it, against any other team in the league, 28 other teams, I will take the Cavaliers and LeBron James in the series. That's be it San Antonio, the Clippers, whoever. I'm going to say, hey, LeBron James on the team, they got a 70% chance to win the series. And the Warriors are just beating them like a rented drum right now. And we've never seen this before. We've never seen anything like this. No matter what the Cavs do, the Warriors have a counter, and not just a counter. They have a counter, and then they have we say LeBron's a cheat code. Well, right now Kevin Durant is rewriting the whole program.
Yeah, and really, I don't want to get into – I hate legacy talk, James. I can't stand that kind of crap. I mean, I think LeBron James' legacy is already set, but I'll tell you, there is legitimate frustration inside LeBron James right now. I mean, just last night, you watched that press conference. It's really almost like an agitated LeBron, and I don't think his mood gets any better anytime soon, even moving into the future, because as you said, this is a team that's going to need drastic changes if they want to top Golden State at any point in time over the next 3 years, and I don't know how they do it without some other team actually doing them a favor.
Yeah, and even with that, I know that their salary, you know, they're already against the cap, and they're already paying the luxury tax. So there's no way even if they shed a huge amount of salary to add another max guy. And that's what they need to do, right? It's not like they just say, hey, we need to swap Love out for somebody else, because then you still have the same kind of problem where you have LeBron and two All-Stars, Kyrie and whoever else they bring in, versus, you know, a four-man core that they just can't overcome. So somehow they got to find a way to add another top-flight player to Kevin Love and Kyrie and LeBron, and it's almost impossible. This is like a Gordian knot. I have no idea how they're going to figure this out. But you can see his attitude and his demeanor right now reminds me a lot of that series they played against the Spurs, where he's playing and he's doing everything he can, but you can see the frustration right at the edge of his countenance.
Yeah, it's definitely a very interesting NBA Finals, to say the least, from the perspective of, I don't know what you do to change the outcome, and we have the best player in the world who is really just frustrated. He's just frustrated. I mean, that's the only word I can think of.
I mean, he's almost averaging triple-double, I think, right now, and he's shooting the ball well. and I think the only chance that he really has is to go full 2015 LeBron. And this is the thing. We want to see our heroes go out with guns blazing, even if, you know, it might be in a, like I think like Russell Westbrook did in the round one. Go out shooting if you're going to go out, and that's not how LeBron's built, but I would love to see him just try to go off one game and score every time down the court. I don't think he'll do it, but it'd be fun to see, because this series is on the brink of being not very compelling, right? Like you said, if Golden State wins game three, even if it's a close game, if you're up 3-0, it's all over but the final score, you know?
I think you got to go to the half-court set. Like, if I'm Tyronn Lue, and again, I'm not claiming to know more than Tyronn Lue, but if I'm Tyronn Lue, I force the Warriors into a half-court set the best possible way, and I let LeBron James bully his way around, and I think that's your best chance of winning a game in this series. And I say a game, not the series, a game.
I guess my problem with that is, like, you know, you can try to slow it down if you want to. The Warriors are not going to give you open threes in the half-court set, but they're going to come down. They're going to get threes regardless of the other end. If you slow it down, I think you're still going to, you know, be trading two for three every few possessions. The next thing you know, you're down nine in a slow game, which is a slow death. You know, so I have no clue what Ty Lue can do in the next few days to change this. I think they might need to do a full philosophical change. They need more two-way players, and they need more length all around the perimeter, and they somehow they got to get younger. So I don't know how they do that in one off season, but I kind of feel. And speaking of the legacy. And you said it. You said it correctly, man. It's like it kind of sucks. There's nothing LeBron can do about this. He played the best series he can. They're still probably going to lose, and somehow it's going to be a knock against him to lose against a team that's historic in nature. So it's not fair. But then when you're talking about the best kind of players ever, we're talking about the top five kind of player. Everything counts, fair or unfair, narrative or not. So it is what it is.
James Solis, always great to get your insight. I know last year around this time, both of us, I think, were a little bit more optimistic that we would get a fantastic series when we were talking. I don't know if that's the case this go around, but please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, man. You can find me on Twitter with in a homage to my favorite player of all time, Scottie Pippen. Just it's, you know, spelled kind of the same, but it's pronounced Snotty Drippin'. So, you know, you can figure that out on Twitter. B-Ball Breakdown, where we're giving out fresh, original, smart content every day. I've been slacking, but the writers there are smarter than me, so please check bballbreakdown.com. And, I'm also a dormant member of the Almighty Baller Radio Network, and check us out there.
James, it's always fun. I know we'll do it again soon. I appreciate the time.
You the man, baby.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up after this.